I want to share for a few moments this whole idea of anchor in the storms of life. And I've used a portion of scripture from Acts, not to systematically go through it and dissect it, but just to be a focal point. So when I read it, and I hope that you will read through Acts as you do read through your scripture on a regular basis, and maybe things will jump out at you. And what jumped out of me is when they was on the storms of life, or in the storms of life, they threw out four anchors. And that just gave me a great title for a sermon series, The Anchors in the Storms of Life. And there are more than four, but the anchors that keeps us, that will keep us safe when storms rage around. And the reason I say when storms rage around is because they will. They are. Well, some of us are in storms at the moment, but there's anchors. The Bible says that hope is an anchor for my soul. It's something that I hope for, that God will pour his grace out on me. And the other week I brought the word of God being an anchor for us. And when we look and we can say, what does God say? So I just want to read one or two scriptures and see if anything jumps out at you as it jumps out at me. I want to read from Acts 27. And I don't like reading as a general, but I like to read God's word. So bear with us as we do read a large portion of what is being said in Acts 27. Start at verse 9, because I jump from passage to passage. Much time had been lost sailing already. Sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. Paul has been given the opportunity to appeal to Caesar. So he's off to Italy, and he has to go by boat. He's already been shown favour. He's allowed to see certain people because he had the favour of God upon his life. He has a demeanour about him that some people understand that this is an important individual. But he still has to go and appeal to Caesar. And they're on a boat. Paul warned those involved, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. It's going to be unhealthy for us. And it's going to bring great loss to the sheep, the ship and the cargo. That's his teeth. And to our own lives also. This is interesting. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbour was unsuitable to winter in, this is interesting too, the majority decided that they should sail, hoping to reach Phoenix. And it's interesting to just pause there. I've underlined majority. Sometimes in our lives, we can be in a crowd, and we believe God's saying something to us, but the majority doesn't hear what we hear. It doesn't mean we're right and they're wrong, but if God is right, then they're wrong. And what we have here is a picture where Paul, he knew who God was in his life. He understood his voice. Yet, here we have the majority decided that they should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and weather there. This was a harbour in Crete, facing both the southwest and the northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw the opportunity. And there again, I've underlined gentle. And there are times where we think that nature and things going on around us will back up the things that we've said. So you can imagine the majority thought, yeah, we ought to sail, not listen to what Paul says. We don't understand the God he serves. Not listen to him, but listen to the majority. And look, the weather's good now. Have you ever arranged a picnic, you've looked at the weather forecast, it says it's going to rain, and when you get there it's sunny. It says it's going to be sunny, and when you get there it rains. But you have to make a decision before you leave. And sometimes we can be lulled into a false sense of security because it looks calm, but just around the corner, as we will see in this story, there's a storm. It says they sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, it was a short period of time, a wind of hurricane force. It's the suddenlies in life, isn't it? Called the Northeaster, swept down from the island. The ship was caught in the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and was driven along. And there will be times, I want to suggest to us, on the storms of life, if we don't allow the anchor, God's word, to keep us firm, that we will be driven by the force of everything else around us. It could be anything. It could be relationships. It could be finances. It could be feelings. If we don't hang on to the anchor, if we don't allow ourselves to be in one place, fix our eyes upon Christ, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, then we will be swept along, just as this boat was. As we passed to the lee of a small island, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, then they passed ropes under the ship to hold it together, because they were afraid that they would run aground on sandbars. And I want to pause there as well, because fear can cause us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. Fear can cause us to be paralyzed and not move at all. Not because we have God's word as an anchor, but because fear overtakes. And what we find here is we find the majority of people saying, yes, let's go. And yet, when the storms of life came, and they did in this story, and they will in our lives, and they are in some of our lives now, fear overran. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm, the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. They were desperate. And there's times I mentioned last week, there are things that we need to get rid of when we're in the storms of life. We need to get rid of our attitudes, don't we? We need to get rid of our plans, our ways, and rely on God's plans for our life and his ways. Neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days. The storm continued raging. Darkness overcome. Last week I mentioned, and to be anchored by the word of God, when we're in that dark place, then it says that Christ is a light. Christ is a light. Let him shine. And then it goes on to say, it continued raging. We finally gave up hope. For us as Christians, the truth is this. There are times, if we're not anchored to the word of God, if we listen to the majority instead of God's voice, instead of saying, what does your word say? What does your word say? Give me that revelation through your word, Lord. Give me that revelation through your spirit, Lord. Let it witness with me. Many people in the world are saying this, but what do you say? If we don't allow ourselves to be anchored by God's word, I suggest that there's times we will give up hope. We'll give up hope on each other. We'll give up hope on those round about us. We'll give up hope that God is real. Does he exist? If you're real, God, how come I'm going through this situation? Well, read scripture. Because when we read scripture, it says trial and tribulation will come. But it will produce character, and character will produce hope. And the Bible says hope is an anchor for our souls. So when we go back to God's word, we won't give up hope, because he is our hope. They gave up hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, and there's natural food that we need, and there's spiritual food that we need. The Bible says that Christ is the bread of life. We don't just feed on natural food. We feed on spiritual food. It becomes an anchor. It keeps us full. It keeps us satisfied. Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. You know, when we're in the storms of life and we give what we believe to be valuable advice to those around us and it goes pear-shaped, let's be what the Bible calls us to be, salt and light. Let's be those that will encourage to say, listen, keep up your strength. Keep going. Keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whom I belong. See, there's many gods that we serve, but we serve the risen God, don't we? The risen Lord. He understood the God that he was serving. I find it interesting when you look through Scripture and you've got Paul and you've got Peter, and Paul was preaching to the Gentiles and Peter was preaching to the Jews. And when Peter mentioned the word God, they knew who it was. Jehovah Jireh, they knew who it was. They knew the God that was being spoken. But when Paul spoke to the Gentiles, they'd go, what God? Which one? There's thousands of them, thousands of deities. So when we use the word God, for you and me who are Christians, we know who we're talking about. We know who we're talking about. Let's be anchored to his word. Do not be afraid, Paul said. Do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar, God says. And he's graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. God's going to bless me. And because he's going to bless me, he's going to bless you. There's a scripture, I can't tell you where it is, but it's where the disciples are in a boat and Jesus is in the boat with them. And it says that there's a storm that's raging around them, and Jesus rebukes the storm and the waters become calm. And there's, in that passage of scripture, it says, on the same sea were other little boats. So if you imagine you're on the sea of life, if God blesses me and he blesses you in the storms of life, all the other little boats are going to be blessed as well. So God was going to bless this man because he was faithful. And because God was going to bless him, he was going to bless those that was also in that boat. When God calms the sea, he calms the sea for those around us as well. So you're a blessing. And when you're a blessing and you're being blessed, other people will feel that. So you can say, as Paul did, keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. So we have a group of men who are fearful, and we have one man who's full of faith. We have a multitude of people who says, we can't do this, and you have one man who says, we can. You could be that one man. God's going to challenge me and he's going to challenge you. And one of the good things about coming together and sharing in church life is that we get to share the good, the bad, and the indifferent. We get to understand that we can be challenged. You know these scriptures. I'm not telling you anything new. There's no great revelation here as such, unless God reveals something to you fresh. The Bible says, surely, the word of God is active. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. There's things that I could be preaching on something for 10 weeks and then a visitor comes in for 10 minutes and we go, wow, that was a great revelation. I get upset because I've been ministering for 10 weeks. But God has just shown you something different through the lips of someone else. That's what happens when we read scripture. That's what happens when we look at this. So let's not be fearful, let's be faithful. In Hebrews 11, verse 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then it goes on to tell you about the men of God, how they stood on God's promises, stood on his word. They had the promises of God over their lives. The promises of God are yes, but the amen is spoken by me and you. So we do need to be active in what we do. When God calls us to do something, he'll back it up with his word. So instead of being full of fear when we're on the storms of life, let's allow God's word that says we should be faithful, which means we should be full of faith. That will keep us steadfast. That will keep us in the right place. That will keep us, when it's darkness, understanding that Christ is our light. When we're hungry, that he is the bread that we can feed upon. When you're going through tough times, he is the anchor. So this word is just a word to encourage us, using Acts as a backdrop, not trying to take scripture out of context, but to keep it in context. Because Christ is a foundation, yes. He is a door, yes. He's also the anchor that keeps us on the sea of life when storms are raging. He keeps us still. He keeps us safe. In Luke 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting around. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem. It goes on to say, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. Not just a good message, not just a nice man, but the power of the Lord was with him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They tried to take their place. They couldn't get through the door, so they removed some of the tiles on the roof and they lowered him down. Four men, one paralytic. And Jesus said, when he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't mention there's the faith of the man laying on the mat. It doesn't mention that there was just one man of faith. But we get the picture that they were of a mind that they'd heard about Christ. They knew that if they could get their friend to him, that there would be power to heal. They had faith. They had faith. And I want to share with you that faith in God's word, faith in his promises, will keep us steadfast through the storms of life. In Matthew 8, verse 23. Then he got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. Now, when you read through the story, Jesus is giving some rebukes here. You're like whitewashed tombs, he says. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. He's talking to the leaders of the religious leaders at the time. They understood the Torah. They understood. They thought they were righteous by what they did. And Jesus was rebuking them. Then it goes on to say in this scripture that I'm now going to read. Then he got into a boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came over the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And one of the things that will diminish our faith is fear. Fear. And what spoke to me when I read this portion of scripture is, it says, you of little faith. So that means that there can be more faith than a little faith. Yet the good news, the good part of this scripture, God's word is this, that the Bible says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. What's the mountain you need to speak to? You only need a small amount of faith. See, we can't become Christians, followers of Christ, unless we have faith. So if you are a follower of Christ, you have faith. You have a measure of faith. Scripture tells us that we can do things according to the measure that we've been given. And also we can receive things according to the measure that we give. The measure that we forgive, we are forgiven. The measure that we give, we receive. The measure of faith that God has given you may be as small as a mustard seed, but it can grow. It can produce a mighty harvest. So in the storms of life, fear will diminish our faith, but faith will increase our faith. In Matthew 15:21. Jesus is talking to his disciples here and he calls them dull. Dull. They're not understanding what he's trying to say. He's talking about false teachers and then he go on to talk about faith. Faith of a Canaanite woman in Matthew 15:21. Leaving that place, Jesus would go from place to place within the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came, crying out, Lord, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. He kept silent. So the disciples came to him and urged him to send her away. She's making too much noise. Let her go. She keeps out crying. She keeps crying out after us. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt down before him. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Something was starting to change within her. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This is what Jesus said. Here we have a woman who doesn't belong to the Lord's people. But she saw something within Jesus that attracted her to him. There was a power that would emanate from him. That he would make claims. That he would make boasts. That wherever he went, there was miracles. Not just wishful thinking, but miracles. She understood there was something different. She received that revelation. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith." You have great faith. You've got the disciples who walked with, talked with, sat with, ate with, was discipled by, had little faith. And you've got a woman here who didn't even belong to the in crowd, had great faith. So I want to suggest to you that fear will diminish your faith, but faith will make you faithful, full of faith. When you're in the storms of life, you can trust God or you can trust the multitude. Listen to God's voice through his word and through his rhema. Let's see what God says to us and through us. In Acts 3:16, by faith in the name of Jesus. So we can have faith to do lots of things. You sat down on the chair today, you had faith that it would take your weight. You will get into your car, you'll have faith that the brakes work. But the faith we're talking about here isn't that kind of faith. Isn't the faith that enables us to go to bed and trust that we're going to wake up. Isn't the faith that will enable us to come to church and hope that the heating works. It's this faith. It's this faith that will cause our faith to grow. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see was healed in his name. Peter said to the man who was crippled, "Silver and gold do we not have? But what we have we give to you." And what did they give? What did they give? They gave what they had. What did they have? They had what they received. Where did they receive it? They received it from Christ. Through the power of Christ Jesus. It says, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus. So when we go through the storms of life, then it's his name. It's faith in him, what he's already done. That will enable your faith to grow so that you can see the seas calmed. I just have a couple more scriptures to read and then we'll close early because of the heat and situation. In Numbers 13:26, many of you will know the story of the spies going out to spy the land. It says in 26, they came to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. What were they showing them? The fruit of the land. I want to just pause there for a moment and just remind you of this story. There's a promise that God had given his people that you will enter the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. That means a prosperous land, a fertile land, a land with green pastures, a land with water that can be drunk, it's pure. A land where you put something in the ground and it will grow. When you produce trees, there'll be mighty trees. When you see fruit-bearing bushes, there'll be big fruit-bearing bushes. And in the beginning of this scripture, this is what the Lord says. Send out 12 to the land that I am giving them. So God had already given them the answer to the question before they went. He's already going to give them. So when we look through God's word, what's God's promises to you? You need to read God's word and see what his promises are to you. And if there's a promise, he's already given it to you. Now we need to dig through his word, especially in the storms of life. Why do I say that? It's because when life is going good, it's easy to forget God. Life is going good, it's easy to forget God. But when you're in the boat of life, when you're in the storm of life, you will call out, and hopefully you'll call out to God. You'll call out to Christ Jesus. You'll put your faith in him. You'll throw out some of the things that you don't need, some of the habits you don't need, some of the attitudes we don't need. We'll throw overboard and say, "Lord, there's more room in me now. Fill me." God had already said, I'm giving you the land. Then they came back to show them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. And it goes on to say, they are powerful. They're bigger than us. They're so big that we look like grasshoppers. And they spread this report. 10 of them spread this report saying, we cannot do this. Now remember, God had already said he was giving them the land. So they put their faith in the majority. All the community started to grumble. All the community said, we can't do that. Then Caleb said, silence. I want to give you the report. Surely we can go and take these people. Let's go now. In other words, scripture doesn't say this, but you could say, if Christ is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, then there's more with us than there are with them. We just need to look. If you look through scripture, you'll find scriptures that will tell you that. Faith, hope in what God has already said to you, will keep you safe and secure in the storms of life. I'm laboring this point because I've been through many storms, and I'm sure you have too. And there's more storms to come, but God's promises are this: he'll never leave you or forsake you. It says of Caleb that there was a difference between Caleb and Joshua and the other 10. They were the multitude. Sometimes the multitude will say no, and God will say yes. Sometimes the multitude will say yes, and God will say no. But because the multitude were listened to in the story of Acts, they sailed directly into a storm. Instead of listening to the minority, they listened to the majority. It's good to have wisdom, isn't it? It's good to have wise counsel. The Bible says we're two or three witnesses. So when God says something to you, if it's like he's calling you to sell up and give all your finances to me and go to Mongolia, check it out. I'm hearing that somewhere. Someone's saying, no, check it out. Check it out. That doesn't mean that we have to listen to... We keep talking... I'm going to give you this, no names, but there was a teenage girl many years ago that was in the church that I was born again into, and she understood who God was, and she started going around to talk to people and ask them one question. And she kept going and going until she found someone that would answer the question in the way that she wanted it to be answered. Is it okay for me to have sex before marriage? What does God say about this? So we're going, no. The youth leaders are going, no. And she just kept going and going until she found someone who said, well, God loves you. It's just about love. He'll forgive you. You don't have to listen to the multitude because there's more of them. We need to listen to God's word, weigh everything up with God's word, allow his spirit to speak to us and through us, and yes, get around godly men and women that will give us godly counsel. So, Caleb had something different. It says he had a different spirit. He had a different spirit. So we can take from these scriptures that there is hope, there is faith, and there is fear. Faith can be small, faith can be large. But we need to put our faith in Christ, and as we put our faith in Christ, our faith will grow. We can listen to the multitude, or we can listen to God's word. As we read God's word for our life, and then we share what we believe God is saying with mature Christians, then God surely will speak to us afresh. When we're in the storms of life, let's have a different spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about life being spiritual. Well, if there's a Holy Spirit, there's an unholy spirit. Isn't there? It makes sense, doesn't it? If there's right, then there's left. If there's up, then there's down. If there's a Holy Spirit, there's an unholy spirit. If there's a Christ, then there's an antichrist. If there's a truth, then there's a lie. So we need as Christians to go back to God's word, because his word is an anchor for our lives. It will keep us steadfast. It will keep us in one place. Matthew 25, verse 21. This is a story that, a parable that we all know. But I just want to read this one section out. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. This is the parable of the talents or the finances or the gold or however you want to look at it. God has said in that parable, it says it's given you a measure according to your ability. So one man has been given a talent according to his ability. We could say, and it's not translated that way, but according to his faith. Maybe he has a little faith. But he's been given a small amount to work with that small amount of faith. And then another man is given more according to his ability. And another man is given more according to his ability. And it says they all went out and two of them put it to work and the other one buried what God had given him. And God says, you wicked and lazy servant, why didn't you put it on deposit with the banks? At least I would have earned interest. He buried what God had given him. As Christians, we're all given a measure of faith. We're born again by his spirit. Yes? True? We put our trust in him. So God comes and dwells within us. And then as we go on our journey, our faith increases. It gets stronger. We start to see, read. Things start to happen. God starts to strengthen us. And he trusts us with more. He trusts us with more. And then we put that to work. And he trusts us with more. And he puts us to work. And our faith starts to grow. And the reward for that is this. Well done, good and faithful. That means they're full of faith. Faithful. You were faithful with a few things. So when you go to the Anglican church and there's a few people there, be faithful. Then God will give you more people to be faithful with. And that's the truth of God's word. Hebrews 11:6. We talked about fear. We talked about faith. We talked about storms. We've talked about the seas raging around us. We've talked about listening to the multitude instead of to God's voice, God's word. We've spoken about lightning things in our lives, throwing them overboard and saying, we don't need this in my life. I don't need this in my life. Lord, there's more in me now that you can fill. That, Father God, I want there to be less of me so that there's more of you. We've heard about God's word being an anchor. That there are times that we just need to be able to be still and be full of courage. Be full of courage. Allow the faith that God has given you to grow so that you can be faithful. If you want to know how to grow your faith, be faithful with what you already have. If God has given you stewardship over small things, then work with those small things. Be faithful with those small things and see the increase come. For some people will be one talent individuals. Others will be 10 talent individuals. It only becomes a problem when the 10 talent works with the one talent and the one talent tries to be a 10 talent, but they're only a one talent. It's just making sense. So Paul had the 10 talent. He had the faith. And when people put their trust in him, as you read the story, the centurion believed him because he weighed up the fruit of his life. And when Paul says, no, no one's to leave, the centurion cut the lifeboat so they couldn't escape. It says this in my final scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. So do you believe he exists? If the answer is yes, then you have faith. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him or diligently seek him. That means there's something we need to do. So, Father, I want to pray now for those that are in the storms of life. I want to pray for those that have come through the storm of life. I want to pray for those that are yet to enter the storm of life. Father, that we want you to speak to us. That we want you to enable us to keep our anchor secure, that the word that you speak to us, Lord, will give us courage, will give us hope, will give us revelation. We pray, Father God, for ourselves and our neighbors. We pray, Father God, for our friends and our enemies. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be a light that will shine in the darkness, that we would be, Father God, men and women of faith, and we'd enable you to encourage us so our faith can grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if we just finish with a hymn. If anyone would like us to pray with you, then we'd like to pray with you. If you're going through a storm, share with godly people. We'll take up our offering and believe that God has called us to be stewards over the faith. And as we're preparing to sing our final hymn, you know, we can stand with one another. So Glyn won't mind me saying this, and if he does, I've already started, Glyn, so I need to finish. Glyn has been smoking for many years, and there was something that came upon him recently, and he went, no, I need to give up. Don't do what this lady did when we went to Uganda. Been smoking for a long time and then just went cold turkey. But God will help you. So let's just pray that God gives you the faith and not the fear. Father, we pray for Glyn. We thank you for the goodness and grace that he has a measure of faith. Let him exercise that faith, knowing that you're more than enough for him. During his storm, be his anchor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.